one of the things that I live by, and it's something that Mary Erdos from JP Morgan says, is if you really want to be an expert at something, find your passion and focus your passion on being an expert in that. The biggest thing that I often hear from women is that question exactly. And I will be the biggest proponent to say, mama, pay yourself first, because nobody else is going to pay you. We live in a day and age now where women control over 50% of the wealth in the country, and it is only increasing day by day.
Welcome to the Mother Honestly podcast. This is your host, Blessing Adesio, founder and CEO of Mother Honestly. On this show, we interview ambitious women that are thriving in and beyond motherhood. Expect honest and real conversations that will encourage and inspire you to take actions on your dreams.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your podcast manager, Kristen, and with us today, we have our host, Blessing, CEO and founder of Mother Honestly, our COO, Nicole, and with us, our special guest, Jennifer Davis Popoff, VP of Retirement Plan Solutions with Chemical Bank. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, guys. Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I finally have the mic in front of me. That's awesome. How can you have a podcast with no microphone?
You're sounding way far away.
I know, yes. But I'm here now. So, Jennifer, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's Friday. I feel like a rock star sitting in the room with all you women, but having the microphone in my face, I kind of like it.
It's nice. This is kind of like the women roundtable. Yeah? It's almost similar to like when you're in a board meeting and it's all men, except now it's all women. Yes. So that's awesome.
It's a power accessory.
Right. Correct. Women power. Girl power.
So Jennifer, tell me about your background. I know you've done a lot of things in the financial world. Mm-hmm. So can you just give us a little bit of a background about, you know, your past experiences, your current job, and you're a mom as well. So give us a little bit about your little son and how that's going.
Great. Well, I'll talk about my little Poodigs first.
Yes.
So that's his nickname that we gave him, because as a baby, he was hungry. He loved to eat, and he would get that beautiful little, like, Winnie the Pooh belly, just huge, and he was so round and bald. So anyway, but his name is Paul. He'll be 4 in January. So, but besides him, my husband and I have 2 rescue dogs at home. So I was a fur mama first and then a human mama second. So, one of the things about that is we did actually wait a long time to have kids, considering a long time, right? I was one of those what they call AMA moms, or advanced maternal age moms. So you...
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, girl, it is.
I'm geriatric pregnancy.
I was
right
going to say, I just had a friend who got pregnant at 40, yep. And she was noted as a geriatric pregnancy.
Anybody 35
whatever
and older.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome.
So I need to have my kids before I'm 35. Yeah. All right.
But before they smack you with that title. Because
I don't need to be labeled. It's like, why do we need to label everything in this country?
I'm like, if I can get pregnant, I'm probably not geriatric.
Agreed.
So you're going to be like grandma pregnant is what you're going to be, your category.
I just did the genetic testing and it was like right there. And it was like elderly geriatric pregnancy. And I was like, wow, way to shame me.
Did it really write elderly?
Yeah. It said elderly. Oh my gosh, I wish I had it with me. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Elderly geriatric pregnancy.
Scary.
I'm into that mode. If we end up ever having a second child, it'll be considered a geriatric pregnancy. But it was just so bad. And I would just, so I went to my OB and we were talking about it. And I went for my annual physical. And he says to me, he's like, the way your ovaries look, you have no problem. You'll be able to get pregnant for a long time. Is that a compliment? Thank you.
You have nice ovaries.
You have the ovaries
really
of a 20-year-old.
You don't need to freeze your eggs.
I want that good on a t-shirt.
You don't have elderly eggs.
The breasts of a 20-year-old. Like, the ovaries, I mean, I can keep those in, like, my pants.
Yeah. I was like, yep, okay, I'm going to put that on my business card. Ovaries of a 20-year-old.
All right, let's get into the financial one.
So let's talk about what really is on my business card. Yes, I've been in the financial services world in a shape or form, for over 20 years now. Started my life and career in banking, made the transition over to become a financial advisor. From financial advisors, I decided to specialize my career. One of the things that I live by, and it's something that Mary Erdos from JP Morgan says, is if you really want to be an expert at something, find your passion and focus your passion on being an expert in that. Read about it, learn about it, really fill your mind with as much knowledge about it as possible, and then become the expert. Take that level of expertise and bring it out to the world,
and let that
be your example. So what I found is, from the financial services world, really what my passion was business owners, 401ks, doing that more of a focused for companies and businesses and massive financial planning instead of that individual one-on-one. So I transitioned my career into that. I've been doing that for the longest time. Back since 2006 is when I transitioned my career from individual financial planning into focusing 100% on the retirement planning world, and that's where I am today. So I've held different roles in the retirement planning world, from focusing on building out any kind of platform. So we're talking 401ks, 403bs, defined benefit, ESOPs, which is employee stock ownership plans, non-qualified plans, anything that's considered retirement planning for businesses. I moved that, and I was able to have a position where I traveled the country doing it. I also was given that opportunity to, at the other firm, to have a lot of access to portfolio managers that manage what are called target date solutions.
Okay.
So what that means is that if you're going to retire in the year 2040, you go into a set investment and somebody else does the mix for you of stocks and bonds. What I got to benefit from working with that team is I learned how to portfolio manage, and I partnered with them to tell that type of story throughout the United States as well. Which leads me to today, I have the awesome opportunity to partner with a great organization to help build out that solution, that wealth management, that business planning solution for their clients.
So I mean, over here at Mother Honestly, we a lot of our conversation is around motherhood,
yes.
In the context of motherhood,
yes.
Because I think that is a lot of, like, you know, information out there, like, oh, you need to invest, you need to, you know, start saving, mm-hmm. You need to start, but until we kind of condense down into the realities of motherhood, because I'm not able to save the same way my single friends are saving,
because
right. I have to buy diapers, I have to, mm-hmm. You know, pay for, you know, groceries more than just for myself. So the question here is, what is the first step?
If I'm
looking to save for retirement, or I'm looking to build wealth,
yeah.
or I'm looking to grow my finances,
mm-hmm.
What is the very first step yep. to that?
The biggest thing that I often hear from women is that question exactly. And I will be the biggest proponent to say, mama, pay yourself first, because nobody else is going to pay you.
Mm.
So what I mean about that is, anytime that you can go ahead and set up automatic savings for yourself where you don't feel it coming out, that's the way to do it. So first and foremost, one of the reasons why I went into the retirement plan business is that if we really look at how can we build a financially secure America for the majority of people,
correct.
Because we're working, get in that 401k or 403b, depending on who you work for. Make it automatic. Start it right away. You don't have to start it at 15% of your paycheck. Start it at 1%. Do little by little, baby steps, increase it every single year. That's how you're going to go ahead and make the biggest difference. There's been a ton of studies done that talk about, gosh, how should I invest? Really what it comes down to is putting more money in over time and leaving it in there. So my biggest number one thing that I talk to people about is get in your employer sponsor plan first.
And I think that's so one of the things, I mean, statistically, women are living longer.
Yep.
And we're typically paid less
mm-hmm.
than men. So for me, how do you even find, you know, what are the simple ways for you to save? Is it, you know, I want to get practical.
Okay.
Let's assume I make $40,000 a year,
yep.
and I'm having to pay my mortgage, pay
mm-hmm.
for various things.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the month, I only have, you know, $100 a month
yep.
to save. Should that go to college savings? Should it go into a 401k? Where can I get the best bang for my money?
You need to put yourself first. So in that situation where you look at overall all of your finances, you need to prioritize
okay.
what is most important for you first. The biggest thing, if you think about it, is when do you spend the most money? Do you spend more money on a Tuesday or a Saturday? A Saturday, right?
A because Saturday for me.
For
I feel
you,
like over the weekend, I just right. keep spending. It's like everybody wants to buy something.
Well, exactly.
It's the weekend.
It's the weekend.
Like, let's go all
let's
out.
Let's go all out. So let me ask you this. In retirement, every day's the weekend.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Think about it that way, because you're not going to work every single day. So you have a tendency to want to spend more money there. My biggest thing is a couple of things. You got to max out that 401k first. And then what you need to do is you need to have a personal savings. That personal savings need to be 3 to 6 months of your expenses. And it has to be in the bank account. It has to be accessible. It has to be in cash. Now, pay off your high interest debt first. If you have a ton,
that is very important.
If you have a ton of credit card debt, that's doing you no favors, except the credit card companies are making a ton of dough off of the interest that you pay. So really, depending individually on each of your personal goals, if you have a financial advisor, talk to them. Talk to them holistically. Don't focus on one specifically thing. What a financial advisor needs to do is to be able to work with you from paying off debt. Maybe your goal is to buy a car. Maybe it's to buy a house. It's maximizing retirement. And eventually get to opening up a college savings plan for your child.
I think that's very important when you, you know, especially when you look at 401k. Mm-hmm. I think that the first thing is maxing out.
Absolutely.
Because even for me, and one thing that I actually did was go back and look. Because sometimes you kind of like, when you sign up, it says, can we add 1% every year? And, mm-hmm. you know, they kind of had 1% every year, and you've now overmaxed. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, no. You need to go grab that extra percentage, mm-hmm. Stay at a max level, and yep. that extra percentage you can divert into something
Correct.
Else, like the college savings.
Yep, absolutely. And the best thing about it is I am a huge fan of making everything automatic. Come on, we're moms. We're busy. We right. are pulled in 100 different directions. If my bills weren't automatically pulled out of my bank account, I can't tell you if I would remember
to make
them. I'd be late on everything.
That well, just happened to me recently.
Yeah.
But I think with the when you have business opportunity, when your company gives you the opportunity to invest in your retirement and mm-hmm. do it, because it's quick and painless.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
It's before you ever see your paycheck.
Yep.
Because
yep.
then you get your paycheck, and you're like, well, I have all these bills to pay, and, oh, I have this $50, but maybe I'll treat myself this week. And when it goes out first...
You don't even feel it.
You don't even feel
so
it.
So painless.
And my son's 22. He's got his first real job, yep. and they offer a matching 401k.
Oh, do it.
Right. And so
Absolutely.
He put in...
No
so he's like, well, I don't make that much money, and I do want to put away, because he wants to buy a house yep. in the next year. And so he, like, put away some, and then he got his first, like, little statement.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well, I can put in more. Like...
Absolutely.
I'm like, especially when you're young and you've got nothing, sock away as much as you can.
Well, and you don't feel it hitting you, too.
No, exactly.
I mean, I never Ooh. Did when I would, you know, join a 401k. I never felt like it was, like, hitting me,
right.
You know, on yeah. my paycheck.
My right. very first job ever, which was, again, moons ago, we were lightheaded. They automatically enrolled me in their plan, mm-hmm. and they automatically increased me. And at first, I was mad. I'm like, here's my first real job. I'm living on my own. I'm going to school. I need all my money. But my mom was super excited because she said to me, Jen, that's less beer money for you and more money for your future. When I finally left my first employer after 5 years, I got my statement and I was floored. Seriously, holy cow, look at all the money is in here. And that's when the light bulb in my head clicked. And I'm like, I'm getting out of where I started, and I'm moving on into investments and focusing on this, because it was powerful to me. And I didn't ever feel it. The thing I think that a lot of people struggle with 401ks and saving for retirement is it's so intangible right now, right? You can't feel it. You can't taste it. You can't touch it. You get statements and you look at it every once in a while. You're like, oh, this is handy dandy. But when it becomes real, when you cross over and you're officially done, you're going to love that you have something versus nothing.
And so the question, so 401k is really for people that have a career.
Correct.
They have a
yes.
business. Or, you know, they're making a paycheck every yeah. month. And so they can automatically, I don't see anything. Once my company takes out my medical, my 401k, my, yep. you know, something for gym, whatever. They take out so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just get, you know, whatever
left
scrap
over.
Is left, mm-hmm. which is fine. But like, if I'm a business owner,
yes.
Which a lot of our listeners are business mm-hmm. owners, and can I start a 401k?
It depends on how your business is structured, and here's where I'm going to push back to say get a good financial advisor and a financial
okay.
planner.
Okay.
Because it really depends. If you're a sole proprietor, there are some kick butt things out there called solo 401ks that look and feel just like a normal 401k. You can sock away a ton of cash, and you can have your husband on it with you because it's spousal rights inside that, just how a sole proprietor. You know, there are things, simple IRAs, SEP IRAs. There's
Roth IRAs.
It's all these crazy things that are out there. Really talk to a financial planner, and especially as women. So unfortunately, as women, somehow it was pounded into our heads that we need to be shameful about money. We don't talk about money. Like,
oh, it's a taboo.
It's so bad. Oh, I don't want to, you know, no. We live in a day and age now where women control over 50% of the wealth in the country, and it is only increasing day by day. We're seeing that shift. Please, women, get out there. Get a financial advisor.
And there are women who are in the financial roles like mm-hmm. you are, who specialize in. I just ran Absolutely. Into a woman who that's the only thing she caters
to. Women.
Is she caters to women. Mm-hmm. She also specifically caters to women post-divorce.
Yes.
Because many of them are left in a, we've talked about it before, we talked mm-hmm. about it with Portia Powell, that a lot of women, until someone either is divorced or Absolutely. Died, don't know what their financial situation yeah. is. And so she helps them catch up, because we're talking about, mm-hmm. you know, getting smart in your 20s, but sometimes you have to get smart in your 40s or 50s and still be able to retire.
Right, agreed. And that's the one thing, too, and I'm glad that you brought it up, Nicole, is that I am a huge champion for getting more women into the industry that I'm in. You know, it's, I don't understand, and I've gone to different career fairs, I've tried to recruit, and it comes down to, I don't understand why women don't want to get into this field. Us as women love...
Because we're uncomfortable with money.
Yeah. Well, the thing that it is it needs to look like this. We are amazing at building relationships. And when women go into doing something, we make a decision very differently than men. So when we go into something, we think about family security first, risk second, return third. Men are very different when they approach money. They think return first, risk second, family security third. So if you have a woman that understands how another woman's thought process is working and are really able to talk about things and take away that taboo.
Correct.
You know, as more women enter the workforce and we fight for pay equality and feminism and let's go, ladies, and kick butt and take names, these are going to be more important conversations, and we can't let them slip. This needs to be first and foremost.
And I like that you bring that that example up or analogy, because we have a financial advisor, mm-hmm. and she's a woman. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, Harvard graduate, very smart as a whip, and she will lay everything out for us.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because when she talks to us, she's always family first. Mm-hmm. She's like, what does Camille need? What does Ade need? We need to set them up for success mm-hmm. first. And it just kind of, yeah. everything you just said, it was like, oh, wait a minute, that's so true. Because she's not even like, she wasn't even like, oh, let's start talking about mm-hmm. your 401k. Let's start talking about your credit card debt. She's like, who, like, mm-hmm. let's secure them first.
Right.
Like, if something happens to you tomorrow, let's say you walk out of here
yep.
and, you know, you never come back.
Right.
Like, who, like, how are
Insurance,
they going to continue?
Everything. What's going to happen?
And so we kind of sealed that one for us. Mm-hmm. She was like, okay, so the kids are taken care of. So now let's talk about you.
You. Absolutely. We think about things so differently. We're just wired differently. And it's awesome to be wired. It's a great compliment. And that's why I think more women need to be in financial services
Absolutely.
And financial planning.
Absolutely.
And I think women are actually in financial services every day, and we don't give ourselves credit for
Agreed.
It. Because we are the people at home with the budget and the grocery shopping and the coupons and little mm-hmm. Alex's karate class and little Sally's dance class mm-hmm. and how are we going to make it all work.
Yep.
We're dealing with finances all day long
yeah.
and we're really good at it, and we just don't give ourselves the credit, and we're the ones who are
right.
actually I think in
Doing
the weeds
it.
Every day. Can we yeah. afford this car? Can we afford cut? And I
right.
think the husbands may be looking at a big picture. I think moms look at it like on the day-to-day, on the regular.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's how finances are. They are the everyday, on the regular things.
Yeah. I mean, my whole goal is I want to empower every mom out there. Get into it. Get involved. It's not scary. It doesn't have to be scary.
Right.
I mean, you're managing the day-to-day. You're doing the majority of the heavy lifting. Get in there. Get involved. One thing I also talk about, too, is talk to your kids about money and talk to money. Talk early. Have that conversation very early about money. Because, again, we have to get rid of the taboo. Money is power. And it's power in a couple of different ways. It means financial security for your family. And money can mean things to different people. Wealth means different things to different people. And that's completely okay. Some people say, I need to make a lot of money. Awesome. High five. Great for you. Other people are like, I want money to feel secure and safe. And I love my current lifestyle, but I need my money to continue. Awesome. Have that conversation about money. Have it early. Instill in your kids the importance of saving, what it looks like out there now. I can't imagine, you know, I went into the workforce right away when I was 18, and actually even before then, but, you know, fast food jobs and stuff like that,
right.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I can talk for days about that. But anyway, I was on my own. I was 18. I mean, my parents had a savings account set up for me since I was knee high, I guess, a little baby. I don't know what you want to say about that. But they talked to me about money very early. So for me to be very comfortable with money, I had no problem and I had no hesitation and no fear about moving into the financial services world at all.
So a question for you, how can people start getting comfortable with money?
Mm-hmm.
So let me dig deeper a little mm-hmm. bit, because for me personally, I mean, up until, I don't know, maybe a couple of years ago, we were living from paycheck to paycheck. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's just so hard for me to start talking about money when I'm, like, waiting for my next paycheck.
Yes.
So, and I want to assume that, you know, a lot of people are maybe in that boat. Mm-hmm. And so how can we get comfortable with money in that scenario where I am living paycheck to paycheck? I don't necessarily see a path to you know, saving so much or maxing out my 401k or even investing. That's something that we've been talking about is, especially with the modern mom, where, you know, some moms are taking a break in their career. They're trying to, you know, maybe transition into something different. Mm-hmm. How can they, you know, make their money work for them?
Right.
And how can we make investing super exciting, comfortable for them? So I think that's probably another question on its own, but more around how do we start getting comfortable with money?
My biggest thing is I'm going to say get real comfortable with being uncomfortable when it comes to money. And the reason why I say that is budget, 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 budget. I want people to be really honest with themselves when it comes to money, especially when they're working paycheck to paycheck. I get it. I did it for a really, really long time. And for me, it came down to being honest. I made myself go through a series of writing down every single thing I spent money on. Today, great, we live in an amazing day of technology. Your bank or credit union can slice and dice all that info for you so you don't have to write it down with debit cards, so on and so forth. But write it down. Do it for a week or two and look at where everything goes. And then I want you to have that honest conversation with yourself. What's more important, my coffee or having $3,000 in the bank? What's more important, spending my money on this or spending my money on that? There is no right or wrong answer for you individually, but get really comfortable with being uncomfortable in the beginning.
Absolutely. And you bring up a good point, because even for me right now, before I purchase a coffee, I'm like, okay, you know, is it really worth it to get that, you know, venti cappuccino for, you know, $6.
Right.
I mean, because I get coffee every day. I literally go through gallons of coffee a day. So
me too.
Like, the only way we survive.
By the time I add all of that up, you know, per day, I'm like, that is literally like $80 a week on coffee. Mm-hmm. And that's $320 a month. Yeah. That could go into a kid's college savings.
Or your own personal savings.
Exactly.
If you don't have one yet, you know?
Exactly. Yeah,
I remember reading a book a million years ago where basically this investor took like the $5 a day that you would spend on a latte. And if you're in your 20s and doing that, he did the forecast, and exponentially, you, if you put that away instead of buying the $5 latte, you would have retired a millionaire.
Yeah. Whoa.
On just that latte. Suggesting that you drink a latte only 5 days a week, doesn't count the weekends. You're getting one on the work every day, and you're doing it for most of your work life.
Yep.
And most people will. And that if you stop doing just that $35 a week, put it away from your 20s until retirement age, you would retire a millionaire.
Yeah. And even to that extent as well, I know, again, with technology, a lot of banks and credit unions now allow you to automatically transfer in between your accounts. You can set up an automatic transfer from your checking to your savings of $5 a week and just let that go. So I highly encourage like that type
of thing. Anything we can automate.
Anything you can automate. $5, you know? I mean, you're not going to feel $5. Maybe you'll feel 50, but maybe the goal is to get up to 50.
Right.
But start somewhere. It's we recently started,
you know, we got a whole bunch of financial products, which I think we're going to get into next with you, Jennifer, is what financial products are feasible for moms. But we, you know, we just purchased some financial products and we were like, oh, you know, this is a lot of money, but we kind of just automated everything and we said, okay, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen anything off. It's kind of like, okay, now we have less money. It just means we're not going to buy that latte next week, you know? So that leads me to the next question, which is what financial products make sense for, you know, I'm a mom of a 5-year-old, 10-year-old. What financial products really make sense for me right now in my stage as a mom?
Yeah. And I always go back to this. Every single person, every individual, every situation is different.
Correct.
So I want to kind of be real broad at the beginning and we can get down there. Establishing a bank account and establishing a bank account early is super important. And this goes back from your basic checking, savings. Just those alone, you need to have those at a bank. What we talk about in the investment world is being bankable. What does bankable really mean?
Have good credit.
Have good credit. You've got to have a starting point there.
And you mean a checking account separate than a household account?
Yes.
Like, because we have the his, hers, and ours.
Yes. So mamas out there, all women out there, I highly recommend having a take care of your own SH blah, blah, blah account. Have an account for you that, you know, again, that this is your emergency cash. What if? This is your what if fund. Take care of myself, my own stuff. So if you're able to get to a point where you can have his, hers, and mine, totally have a mine. Because you just don't know what's going to happen. Death, divorce. I know Portia talked about that.
And that's very important. Like, my husband and I, you know, it's the same thing with you, Nicole. Mm-hmm. We have our joint account. Yep. And then he has his own account. Yep. And I have my own account.
Absolutely.
And there have been times where even our own joint account kind of goes red. Yep. And we're like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And, I quickly transfer from mine. He's like, oh, so you have that much money? I'm like, I mean, you know.
You're like, surprise.
Surprise. But the reality is that, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. There might be, you know, you may need to plan a surprise for your husband.
Yes.
Or, you know, plan a staycation. And you don't want him to have access to that fund.
Right. Or if you have kids, let's say, you know, one of your kids needs sports equipment or something, and something needs to happen right now, there needs to be a little bit extra on the side. You guys will laugh. My husband and I don't have joint bank accounts. With everything.
I'm not laughing because I know a lot of people that don't.
My siblings do. And they're like, I'll take the mortgage, you take the groceries, you've got the utilities, I've got the cable.
Exactly what we do.
And we kind of do that with ours. I will admit that his and the hours are actually the same account because he brings home substantially more income, and I'm fine with that. And then I have the mine.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was a freelancer for many, many years, my income could either be like way up or way down.
Yeah.
And so every month I'd be like, totally, I can cover both the cars and all of this. And then the next month I'd be like, so the DTE bill, is that good? I'm just going to pay the electric bill. You know, and that account actually started out of what you just mentioned. Yeah. I wanted to buy my husband something.
Right.
I wasn't working at the time. I'm like, but I don't want to buy you something that you can see on our Amex bill.
Right.
I'm like, this sucks.
Yep.
And so we transferred money into account, and that's how it started.
A lot of women have come to me saying, oh my God, you know, I just want to be able to afford to buy my husband something. And I think this is even more prevalent for those women that are slaying it at home.
Absolutely.
You know, creating space for motherhood.
Yep.
Is, you know, how do you do it? Mm-hmm. And I think this is the solution of just having your own separate bank account and explaining that to your husband and saying, look, I want to be able to do something for our family outside of what you bring in.
Yes.
And if you maybe sell, you know, I don't know, two
stuff,
essential oils,
absolutely,
or whatever, and you made $20, and it goes in there, and that's your thing that you can use later on down the road.
Yep.
Okay, so one more question for you, or maybe two more questions for you. I think one of them is, how do you align your goals and your ambition? I know that you became a mom at a very later stage.
I did.
So I can only imagine how that affects your day to day life.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you? How was that transition?
Absolutely.
And how are you handling things now that you're a mom?
So I never used to want to have children. I was one of those that was 100% career focused. I'm going to kick butt and take names. I'm going to make a name for myself in financial services. I'm going to do all this great stuff. And kids are awesome if they're other people's. I just don't see it for me. I ended up meeting my husband, and that completely changed. And we got married. And I was like, I would love to have your babies.
babies now.
Pretty much it was like.
Funny how that kicks in.
So it was so life-changing because I just remember having the conversation, I want to have babies now. And he was, anyway, that's a whole different show and a whole different topic. So for me, when I was pregnant, again, even my doctor wanted to try to put the restrictions on me because I was older. I didn't listen. I still continued on as if I wasn't pregnant at all.
And that's the way to do it. If you don't have complications, knock on wood.
Knock on wood, right? And he did finally come back to the point and say, you know what? I could write a textbook on how to have an advanced maternal age pregnancy based on your pregnancy. I was like, thanks. And I have 20-year ovaries of a 20-year-old. What changed for me is I went back to work thinking I could be the exact same person.
Mm-hmm.
What I had to do is I had a quick reality check because my priorities had changed. My priorities weren't all about climbing the corporate ladder that fast. My priorities weren't traveling the United States anymore, public speaking and having people be like, that Jennifer, dang, she's good. You need her to speak at your event. My priority came, I would love to wake up with my son and give him a bath that night. So I had to ask myself some really important questions was, which now is still being the person that I am, what's most important to me? And my family and having my son won over. At that point, I decided to retire from my position that had me traveling all over the United States and come back home to Detroit and build my career around Detroit. So I said to myself, I can still get everything I want out of life here without having to spread myself so thin, and I can still make my life a priority at home and balance with it at work. I've often been told by a different generation of moms that I'm not a real mom. And I'm like, what does that mean? I was in the delivery room. I remember him coming out. Trust me. Okay. I'm a real mom. But they've told me that I'm too ambitious and I have too many goals to be a real mom. And to them, I say, phooey.
That's so sad.
Isn't that so sad? Isn't that heartbreaking?
I remember the very first time you and I had lunch and you told me that story. And I was like, I am ready to punch people
in the face.
But hopefully not.
I feel so sad that those women obviously gave up a tremendous amount thinking themselves. that wasn't either or. That's what makes me so sad to even hear that.
I know.
I think it's because as mothers, you know, we've been conditioned to believe that. Right. Sacrifice is synonymous with love.
Right.
That if somehow you're not dropping everything and focusing on your kids, you're not a mom.
Absolutely.
And I know, like, here's the thing. Moms need to take a break.
Oh,
okay,
yes, they do.
They need to take a break after having a baby. That is 100% true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to quit my job, similar to you, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. I had to quit my job when I realized that, wait a minute, I'm not home to put my kids to bed. I'm basically traveling around the world and I'm being paid shitty salary. So this is not my life. Mm-hmm. And I had to quit my job. And so for me, I believe that, you know, if we can get to a point in this country or in the world where moms are able to take a break without feeling guilty about it, without feeling like they're missing out on something and that they're able to, there's a path to coming back to work for them. I think that that's the best case scenario.
Agreed.
But saying that somebody is not a real mom because they're not taking a break, then, you know, or maybe they're overambitious, I think that's just... I don't know.
I agree. And that is one of my driving factors today about being in the workforce as well. You know, I don't think it shocks anybody that I'm a raging feminist, all about equality. Woo, right?
We're all feminists.
We're all feminists. Yeah. And one thing that people need to understand is when we say we're feminists, it doesn't mean that we're she, woman, man haters. What it means is that we want equality for women across the board. I'm married to a man. I have a son. I love men. I've always loved men. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to take their crap or I'm going to be okay with them thinking that I'm a less of a person because I'm a mom.
Well, or quite frankly, taking other women's crap. Yep. I think that the equal rights movement was about if you want to stay home, you should get to stay home.
Absolutely.
And if you want to be in the workforce, you get to be in the workforce.
We should be able to make that decision for ourselves.
Exactly. And I think it became a like in either or.
Right. And the one thing that I feel is because I have a boy, I need to be an example to him of what exactly a mom and a woman and person with ambition
really is.
So he's going to get out into the world and he's not going to know the difference, right?
Right.
You know, and he's going to go out there and he's going to fight for the same things that we're fighting for every single day. So to me, how do I balance it? I balance it because I look at his face every day and I owe it to him and I owe it to myself to make that world a better world for everybody.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you
so much, Jennifer, for coming.
Thank you.
Where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. It is mama_JD_papa. That is where I do the majority of my social media.
Post pictures of the little one.
Oh, that's where you'll see my
so
poodigs, my little bundle of joy. That's where you'll see my family. That's where you see me post about inspiring events and what I'm doing. So yeah, absolutely check me out on Instagram.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Have a wonderful day.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama, for joining us on the Mother Honestly podcast. I am your show manager, Kristen Baffo, asking that you please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. And for more resources, visit us at motherhonestly.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.